RachelCochran.com presents the winner of the Room to Write Short Story Competition 2014. Recorded in the library of the Teikyo University of Japan, Diagonal Flight by Christine Powell.
Wind slides her arms into the red silk jacket, pulls on a pair of black twill trousers, eases her feet into her best brocade slippers. Today, she is Tran Jing Wei, Chinese grandmother. There is a note from the daughter-in-law on the kitchen table. Instructions to leave the charity bag by the front door when she goes out. Wynne makes tea in her special blue and white porcelain beaker, carefully replaces the lid, and carries it into the front room. This hour in the morning, when she has the house to herself, is her Tai Chi Chuan time. She stands a few steps back from the bay window, roots her weight over her feet, focuses on the roof of the house opposite, breathes down to the Tan Tian, and adopts the first Qigong stance. Wu Ji. Before beginning the form, she permits herself a sip of tea. Hei Sai, ward off, roll back. A pair of jackdaws sidestep coquettishly across the slates. Diagonal flying. Each new year, find a mate, build a nest, rear your young, teach them to fly. She taught her son to fly. He headed west, found himself a post at a British university and a round-eyed English bride. When he insisted she should come to live with them in this damp northern village, she could find no reason not to. So, for the last 18 years, she has been Nana Wynne, Mrs. Chan, John's widowed mother from Hong Kong. She has worn faded black sweatshirts and polyester jogging bottoms. She has been housekeeper and babysitter, and she has attended English language classes for the grandchildren. Now they too are learning to fly. Thomas is training to be a quantity surveyor. Laura, monkey child, restless and clever, designs things. On a fleeting visit home last summer, she said, "I think I should learn Cantonese. You could teach me, Nana Wynne." Wynne was gratified, but non-committal. White crane spreads wings. A small red-haired boy wearing old-fashioned spectacles with heavy black rims, an enormous rucksack on his back, races past the window. He has no bus to catch. The primary school is only 100 yards away. But every morning he runs, arms pumping, up to the school gate. Kick with the right leg. The Methodist minister strides through the puddles with her Labrador. The family once had a dog, a border terrier cross called Bobo. Bobo used to sit at her feet, staring. "I do not like dogs. You will not jump onto my knee," she said repeatedly. And the grandchildren wailed repeatedly, "Nana Wynne, you are so cruel to Bobo." She did not connect with their response to the dog's death. She had never wept unreservedly in that way. Not even where Dershi died, leaving her alone with their young son. Perhaps she left Jiang Yeo, as he then was, too much in the care of the creches set up by her European employers in the big central district hotels. But the pay allowed her to educate him well. He has always treated her well in return. Although just now he is away at a conference in London, and last night, New Year's Eve, neglected to call her. There is still a part of her that fears this departure from routine is an inauspicious omen. Practice completed, she looks out the zodiac banners. The daughter-in-law gave up a lunch hour to find them in one of the Chinese supermarkets in Newcastle, so Wynne shouldn't be ungrateful. But they are mass-produced images on cheap material, not what she'd hoped for. The banners go into a jute tote bag advertising Hui Ha Chinese products. Her cousin, still cleaning the big houses in Pok Fu Lam, emails that the big store on Nathan Road is also still there. She drops the brocade slippers into the bag and puts on her Wellingtons. Mr. Craggs from next door is putting out his charity bag as she leaves. Mr. Craggs has milky grey-green eyes like the South China Sea. His wife is in hospital. His sack is full of clothes she will never wear again. nor will she be home for his 72nd birthday. Well, this is your year, says Wynne, the year of the horse. I look forward to galloping away into the sunset, he says, once I've had the knee operation. You look very smart this morning, Wynne. I'm going to the school to talk about Chinese New Year. There seem to be a great many children jammed into one classroom. Wynne smiles at the rows of upturned faces, like little pink peas on a shelf. Gong Hei Fat Choi. Happy New Year. My Chinese name is Jing Wei. I was born a very long time ago, in 1940, so I am a dragon. I think that you are all probably pigs, dogs, or rats. The children giggle. Some rowdy boys on the back row start a snorting contest. The class teacher hands out calendars downloaded from the internet, and a lively buzz fills the room as the children search for the animal of their birth year. A shriek of laughter erupts from the back row. Look, Raymond's a pig. Oink, oink. Everyone turns round. Wynne's red-haired running boy bangs his fist on the desktop. I'm not a pig. You're pigs. The teacher hurries over, calms them all down. Now, I want you all to listen very carefully to Mrs. Chan. A classroom assistant hangs the zodiac banners around the room. The smallest children in the front row fidget, waggle their feet, yawn, pull at their clothing. But most of the older ones pay attention as Wynne explains the animal symbols, taking particular care to stress the kindness and honesty of the pig. Then there is a special display. The year six pupils dance in procession around the school hall with a fantastical green and gold papier-mâché horse's head, accompanied by their own composition on tin whistles, cymbals and drums. Wynne tells them she's very happy that they should honour her culture in this way. As the hall empties, she feels an urgent tug at her left sleeve. It is Raymond. Miss, can I be a dragon, like you? The pig is a good animal, Raymond. Raymond sighs heavily. She fears there may be tears. But I don't want to be a pig. You have the heart of the dragon, I can tell. Miss, you know how you have an English name and a Chinese name? Wynne nods solemnly. Can I have a Chinese name? I think that is possible. She nods again. How about Da Wei? It is the name she would have chosen for her grandson. Da Wei. Does that mean dragon? It does. Wynne finds the dragon banner and presents it to him. Wow! Cool! He throws it round his shoulders and rushes out to the playground. As she walks home, she chides herself. Since when, Jing Wei, did you lie to children? The answer, of course, is like all adults, she has always told small lies to children, to preserve happiness and harmony. As she replaces the silk jacket on its hanger, she notices a greasy stain on the sleeve from Raymond's fingers. She barely has time to make a cup of tea before her son arrives home. It is Friday afternoon, the conference finished early, and he has a New Year gift for her, a turquoise scarf bought from a booth on King's Cross Station. We'll celebrate tonight, he says, while Deborah is at choir practice. Zhang Liu, I have not been a good grandmother. She drapes the scarf over her arm, holds it up to the light. I did not try enough to teach Tommy and Laura about their Chinese heritage. He frowns. But they were born over here. On Monday morning, snow falls. Wet, soft flakes, like small birds spiralling down to earth. Wynne breathes in, feels the chi sinking to the Tandian point, and her joints open. Raymond is late. Perhaps he isn't going to school today. Perhaps his mother is keeping him at home because of the weather. Perhaps he is unwell. She begins to feel anxious. But no, there he is, a small, dark figure charging through the blizzard. He has tied the dragon banner to his rucksack. It streams out behind him. As he draws level to her window, He leaps into the air, one arm stretched out in front, the other behind, making a diagonal line. It is a trick of the light and the snowfall, but just for an instant, he seems to be suspended there, like an arrow in flight or a superhero. He lands, waves, carries on running. Wynne removes the lid from her blue and white china beaker, sips her tea, watches the snow float slowly past the bay window.
That was Diagonal Flight by Christine Powell, winner of the Room to Write short story competition 2014.